Hello and welcome back to Match Day Matinee, the show where we take a look at the cinematic takes of the beautiful game. I am your host for today, Adam, and I'm joined as ever by Mark. And we have a very special guest, the man who likes to celebrate the mediocrity in everything he looks at. It is CPL Wooden Spoon. Very pleased to have you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So, you picked today's movie, so we have that to thank. So anyone in the comments or anything, or hit us up on Twitter, wants to know why we have transferred to this type of movie, they know who to blame, right? At CPL Wooden Spoon.
100% correct.
So before we kick off, guys, I was curious, in a non-pervy way, what are you wearing? So today, I'm wearing my Brentford Football Club Corrupt FM t-shirt, not only to celebrate Brentford being in the Premier League for the first ever time, but also, not that they need my promotion, but Corrupt FM's movie, People Just Do Nothing, Big It Up in Japan or something, I think is what it's called, just came out today. If you can watch People Just Do Nothing on Netflix, and you like the likes of The Office, it's a really good show.
Still no Canadian release though.
Still no Canadian release. It does have, it is confirmed it has a digital release this year. So hopefully when it's done in the cinemas, maybe we see it on Netflix or something.
Yeah. Is that more of like a jersey, or does it have like the actual jersey material?
No, it's a it's a t-shirt, yeah.
T-shirt? Yeah. It's not that
bad. But it's nice material, it's nice quality t-shirt.
Yeah.
Actually had to go to Tip Top Tailors to get it adjusted because they only had 4 XLs left, so I needed it tapered in. So I paid the money to get it tapered.
How much did that cost? It's not a bad idea.
It's like $30.
That's not a good idea.
Yeah.
It's not really worth it.
Like yeah. $25-$30 or something. I was getting a bunch of pants done anyway, and then I was like, I'll just throw this in and get it done. Because it was way too wide. Now yeah, it looks like a normal t-shirt. But yeah, bit pricey. Mark, why don't you tell me what you're wearing today?
I'm wearing the 2020 Pacific FC away kit. I think they were called the Community Editions or City Editions, one of those two. It's pretty cool. It's got like the Fiskard lighthouse on it. Probably my favorite of the CPL kits. PFC's color combination is like, I think, best in the league, I'd say. The teal and the purple.
I agree.
Yeah. And it's been nice, man, going back to soccer games and seeing you in person, right?
I think. No, yeah. It's really strange. Like, oh, hey.
Yeah. I've kept it up a clip of like at least one game a week, two, if you include my daughter's Pee Wee League. Which is also entertaining, more entertaining than TFC games these days. But yeah, man, it's been good. I've been able to wear my jerseys in person that I've been collecting for the last year or so.
Yeah, I need to start wearing some of these I've slowly collected over the last year. Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Impressive.
Feels amazing. Yeah.
Wooden Spoon, what are you wearing today?
I am wearing an original logo Toronto Lynx t-shirt, I guess.
That is something else.
Yeah. I would always see like the Toronto Lynx logo in the newspaper when they were just advertising stuff, and that was soccer in Toronto at that point, like in the GTA.
It was. This was the team.
Yeah, and nobody talked about it, right?
And
it
was no one talked about it.
We have a soccer team called the Lynx, and
that it's like a secret handshake. I consider it a secret handshake. Like those who like give me a nod to the shirt, I'm like, all right. Yeah.
A lot of legends came from that. Right? Like I know D-Row for sure, but then
I was just talking about.
Yeah, D-Row, we were just saying whilst you were getting a drink. Yeah,
like a T-Bud too, maybe.
I don't know if Atiba was on it, man. Atiba was on York Region Shooters in CFL.
Yeah. There was another guy. One of the
Which I have his kit for York Region Shooters, by the way.
Nice. It may have been Junior Holia, I think.
Yes.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. He was one of those. One of that generation, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Should we crack on and talk about today's movie then? So, today's movie is the 1999 classic, Soccer Dog. A soccer lover and his wife adopt an adolescent and meet a stray dog that can play the game. It was released in July of 1999. It's rated a PG. It's allegedly a comedy, a drama, and a kids' family film. It is directed by Tony Giglio, who, from what I can tell, directed nothing else. And it is written by Daniel Foreman. It is
he directed the Doom sequel.
He directed the Doom sequel. Doom
yes, he did.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
Which I think they made just to keep the rights. It was like a trash bin movie.
Oh,
I think
one of those. Okay. Yeah.
Well researched.
So, yeah. The only other cast member I really noticed was the coach of the team.
Yeah, Sam McMurray, man. Yeah. Doug. Chandler's boss.
I spent the longest time thinking, where the hell do I know him from? And realized I just knew him as a doctor from Breaking Bad. He's literally in two episodes.
Oh, I didn't know that, man. Yo, he's Chandler's boss and Friends, too.
Was it? He's been like, I've seen him in dozens of things, but I couldn't name a single thing that he's been in.
Yo, he was the voice of Roy in Dinosaurs, like the TV show Dinosaurs. He's
Which
Roy.
One was Roy, the dad?
Yeah.
That show holds up. I've been watching
that show. Yeah, I've watched
that show.
Recently.
Holds
it
up.
Still good. It's got a bit of an edge to it. But yo, the other cast member, Olivia Dabo.
Yeah. Yes. There you go.
The coach's wife. Was she only popular like North America?
Yeah. I think they were riding that Friends wave. Like, cause this came off of Friends.
Oh, and she was on Friends too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ah, and she's in another soccer classic, The Big Green.
Oh, shoot. Available on Disney Plus.
Yeah. And I feel like she had a breakthrough in, like, I want to say like Crocodile Dundee or something. I don't think it was that, but
Conan the Destroyer, maybe.
No, it was some other movie. Cause I think she's Australian. So she had like a bit of exotic flair to her, but like just enough not to make people uncomfortable back
she's
in the 90s.
She's actually English. She was born in London.
Can we talk about how uncomfortable this movie is for Italians?
We will get there.
So good.
Okay, let's roll into a quick plot synopsis before we talk about our highlights of the movie. So Clay is a young boy who is adopted, leaving the clutches of an evil orphanage mistress who struggles to connect with his newly adopted father, who just wants to have a son to play football with. Unfortunately, Clay is not only upstaged by the titular soccer dog, but is also called a variety of names such as Nancy and Manny for no reason at all. We get a dumb American coach who spent the entire movie wondering who he was and realized he was a doctor from Breaking Bad. He says soccer is called baseball in the UK. I can confirm it's not. Turns out the soccer dog can play. There is a mafia dad who tells one of the players to drug a player. There's apparently match-fixing Little League kids. Football is cool. For whatever reason, the player gets drugged and can't continue. And for whatever the reason, the ref won't let them play with a man down. There is no replacement player available. And he cunningly says, as long as you can find a warm body, lo and behold, up steps Lincoln the dog, and boy, can he play. We get a quick rules check with a dusty old book that is far too big, and it turns out the rules say dogs can play. The ball goes to the dog, and at first he is not interested before eventually snapping into action and nodding a rebound and follows it up with another goal. They win the game 6-2, and we get a montage of goals. When he isn't busy scoring goals, he's also scaring children. He becomes famous, but the dog catcher who held him previously is still after him. We see a bully in a store who says that you can buy a scrub new shoes, but you're still a scrub. That was the funniest line for some reason. I found that really funny. We get a side story about a weird disgruntled news reporter, and we get her who retells the origin story of Lincoln, but it's completely made up through archive footage of other dogs in black and white. We learn shortly after this, for no reason at all again, that Lincoln has been neutered, so he can't procreate with any of the neighborhood's dogs. Clay is half an hour late for dinner, and his adopted dad gets upset, thinking he has no fun with him. Clay comes in speaking like his friend Vince, and it's ridiculous. He calls his parents babies and not to sweat it. It's absurd. He is sent to his room for how he's acting. This leads Clay to decide that the entire town is insane, but actually it's him that is sat talking, having a full-blown conversation with a dog. Clay gets left on the bench for a game and walks off upset. He has an argument, and Lincoln also leaves. Now, this is where I kind of got lost a little bit. Despite two viewings, I don't remember how the dog gets taken by and how they discover the collar's been cut, but that does happen. So he's been stolen by the dog catcher. Then the boy becomes like a savant. He's like, wait a second. When Lincoln disappeared, I did see a car pulling away. And then the dad's like, what was the plate number? And he can just remember it. So he couldn't remember the van.
D-Master, yo, D-Master.
And then they go rescue the dog. And
he's from Twin Peaks.
Yes, he is from Twin Peaks. That is the one character as well. Yes, he's the mystery. He's Laura Palmer's like secret boyfriend in Twin Peaks. Spoilers for Twin Peaks. So they go and confront the dog catcher. At this point, we realize that the dad knows kung fu as he fights with the dog catcher. They escape and go to the game. Clay has to go in goal, much to everybody's dismay. But it turns out he's actually good at catching a ball. the previous bully that we saw before has his own evil dog who isn't playing but takes out Lincoln. Cue another montage with some sort of Rocky sounding music.
Just T-bones the dog.
T-bones the dog and like wins him and he can't play.
Puts the dog in, right?
Lincoln finally comes around and can play. They win the game. Lincoln gets reunited with his real family, and it turns out his name is Kimball.
What a shock at the end of that movie when that happens.
Yeah, and it's just out of nowhere. It's just like, oh, the dog catcher didn't take him legally. Here's his real family. Clay is really upset. But we get one of those montages that you get at the end of like teen comedy movies where it's like, what's everyone up to now? About a whole host of back characters who you do not give a shit about, but at least you know what they're up to now.
Okay, but hold on. The couple that was in bed when they said they were too busy dining in to worry about the fire, who were they?
They were in the crowd throughout the movie.
They were just crowd
and
people.
That woman in particular got overly excited every time like a goal went in. You saw her numerous times through the film. And
the quality of the movie was so bad, like the copy that we got was like 360p. I thought that was the kid's mom the entire time.
Yeah, she was revealed she was like secretly having an affair.
Yeah, I think there should be a note that we did period correct DVD rip.
Yes, we did. So the movie ends with them getting a new dog from a dog breeder. So Soccer Dog's successor is set up. The credits roll, and we're treated to another rendition of the song Super Rad.
Aquabats,
a song I will point out, Shazam did not know. I had to Google the lyrics to double check who it was.
I had Aquabats shirt as a kid, man. Maybe this movie was speaking to me, but like that Super Rad, as soon as I heard that, that's like, that got my attention again.
I knew the song and I could not remember the artist. So that's the only reason I needed to use Shazam, because I was like, I know this song. Who is it?
I thought it was Time
Bomb. It's the only song in the movie.
They play like two or three times. I thought it was Time Bomb by Rancid. It's got like the same kind of tune to it. It's like, it's definitely 90s ska.
It does. Yeah, yeah. Dude, it just, this movie is like the pinnacle 90s, like, Orange County.
It's pretty sick. Yeah, they got like, they have a ripoff, a knockoff version of Belle Biv DeVoe Poison.
Oh my God. Games. Dude, I wrote that in the note.
And then they have a knockoff of like the Rocky theme too at one
point. Yes, the Rocky theme. Yeah. During one of the montages,
glad you picked that Belle Biv DeVoe. That's deep cut.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
So before we start talking about highlights, I'm not going to beat around the bush. I detested this movie. In some alternative world, in some parallel universe where this podcast is called Mutt Matinee, and we're ranking the best football or the best dog movies, I can safely say, off the top of my head, I know 5 better dog movies. And I'm going to tell you what they are now. Beethoven, Turner and Hooch, Benji Hunted, The Shaggy DA, and K-9. They're all better than this film.
Yo, what's that one with Otis? Otis and the cat.
Way Home? Homeward Bound?
No, man. The pug and the cat. Otis and something. Let me look it up. Yo, they're the dog movie that rules.
Oh, man.
Milo and Otis.
Milo. There you go.
1986 adventure classic. So yeah, guys. Mark, what do you think of this film?
Man, like I know, Spoon, you came in here with the intention of like a drunken uncle bearing gifts, like trying to sabotage our podcast on purpose. But I love this movie. I thought it was like I found myself laughing at so many parts. There were so many comedic moments in it that were great. The stereotypes of like the little Italian kid, I loved it. It had a decent story. And you know what? Like, it's a shame that they went for a kid friendly movie, because if they had gone on like the hard R, this movie would have been amazing. It would have been like cult classic. Like, I'm thinking,
I agree 100% with everything you're saying.
Like, if they had made this, if they had leaned into it, like Super Troopers, what was that? It was called Broken Lizard, I think. Like that.
Broken Lizard, the commentary.
Yeah. Like, if they had made this like a beer fest or like a Super Troopers type movie, leaned into those elements, this movie would have been.
And they kind of did, but the ref. The ref was like that character. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, like the Arlie Ermey, what's this, that movie?
Apocalypse Now, Sergeant Hart. Hartman.
Apocalypse Now, isn't it? Like
Now, it's Hartman. It's Sergeant Hartman.
Like, if they had leaned more into that, and like, there's already some like risque elements in it, but if they had gone full on that, oh man, this movie would have been even better. But I enjoyed this movie. This is far from being the worst. Yeah. We've seen much worse movies than this on the
map. We have seen worse movies in general.
Yeah. Doesn't it's mean the I worst, but it's like the best worst. I guess that's what I was trying to advocate here.
I wish they had gotten a better main actor. The dad, not the kid. I don't even remember what the dad's name is. The Twin Peaks guy. But
no, the Twin Peaks guy was not the dad, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, was it? Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Stepdad. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, stepdad. Yeah, yeah, stepdad. Yeah, yeah.
He's called James Marshall.
James Marshall.
So he was in a movie with Cuba Gooding Jr. in the 90s. That was like his biggest movie.
What's it called? A Few Good Men?
A Few Good Men? No. Oh,
didn't that? No.
It was a boxing. Gladiator. It's called Gladiator. Gladiators.
Okay.
I think it was called Gladiators.
I'm glad you appreciated it. It takes a special kind of person to watch that movie and get through it.
Yeah, nice. You're right. He's in a boxing movie called Gladiator. Yeah. He's. Wow. I was not expecting this.
Well, what about the baby guy? Like the baby guy with the wink with the girl?
Oh.
Best scene? Best scene in the movie, possibly?
Yeah. One of the worst scenes, though, in this movie easily is when he's having the conversation with the little Italian kid and they just keep calling each other baby and daddy and you have no idea what's going on.
Yeah,
he's like, I'm not wearing a diaper.
But kids didn't talk like this in the 90s. Oh, I didn't think they did, at least. And it's like they just, like, I guess, tried to lampoon it a bit.
No, like one kid says something like, oh, that was the bomb or something and the other guy gives him crap for it. But kids did talk like that.
Yeah.
That was I honestly feel like the CSL made this movie. It feels like the CSL.
Kids just seem to bully each other in this film for like anything.
The dad adopted a kid to bully him into being
into playing football.
But even before that, what was the kid's name that came back to get the dog? Templeton or something like that?
Templeton, yeah, yeah.
Was it Templeton?
Yeah,
it was. He doesn't deserve this dog back. Like, at the very beginning of the movie, he takes the ball and he throws it at, like, heavy machinery and he just watches Lincoln go and get the ball smiles. Yeah. But he smiles about it as Lincoln's going towards this, like, excavator or something. So, he doesn't deserve the dog back. I'm sorry.
No, he does not. And that comes out of nowhere. Like, all of a sudden, it's like, happy ending, boom, heartbreak. I texted you at night being like, you need to, like, do some sort of deal with, like,
SPCA or something.
That was the scene. I was like having a heartbreak.
Oh, right in the beginning? Oh, man. So even... Okay, so many elements to this movie I want to discuss. But the one thing is that they're talking about... He starts in Pelton, and he talks about having a midlife crisis, and he has to move away. He has to get so far away from Pelton to forget about his upbringing. So he goes to the next town over. He's like, I felt like I was miles away, but I was still in my own backyard. He's like, yeah, man, you could like literally look across the street and see your orphanage. But then they call this place Crocker Soccer Town USA, but nobody knows about soccer in it.
Mm.
They have like, no idea. All.
Yeah.
No clue.
But I guess that was soccer in the 90s, right? It was like this fringe sport where it's like, I love soccer, but you only know it like what you make of it, like soccer 100%, moms. And,
100%. And this movie was made for like a specific like HBO 1990s OC, like Orange County like demographic. This is like the Alexi. Yeah, it's like a soccer mom, like Alexi Lala's fucking thing, man. It's a whole different world.
But like Air Bud had already come out at this point, right?
Yeah, yeah. This is a Woodbridge ripoff. I always call it a Woodbridge Air Bud.
They're riding the sports dog wave.
And the dog doesn't even feature in it. The dog has very little to do with the whole movie.
No, it's clearly ripping off Air Bud. And then at the very end of it too, when he gets a new dog, it's a golden retriever, just like Air Bud.
Yeah, 100%. It is, man.
I hadn't thought about that, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey. Can we talk about D-Master?
Go for it. Yeah, I was going to say, tell me other things you like about this movie, so go for it.
All right, D-Master, do I need to explain anything else? Psychopath dog catcher who, like, he would eat his ring when he's kissing it in that car.
Yeah. So he throws the net over the dog and then he kisses the ring, the skull ring.
Yeah, that guy is, what a character.
And there's a bit where he's just in a trash can, like a big, an industrial trash can, where someone's just like sniffing stuff.
And he pulls the garbage out of his like collar.
Yeah. And then he's just like looking around like, yep, I know the dog's around there somewhere.
Was this guy known from anything else? Because he got special billing in the beginning. It was like, and so-and-so as the dog catcher.
I looked him up. He's in a bunch of like second rate like horror movies and stuff, but there was one good film he was in. I can't remember what it was. Give me 1 second.
And he's completely emulating Bob from Twin Peaks.
Oh, man. I haven't seen Twin Peaks. I'm missing all these references.
You are. Yo, he is the like the best.
Oh, he was in
spoilers.
He was in The Untouchables.
Yes, he was.
Sean Connery, like gangster police film. And then he was also in
He did nothing in that film.
He was in The Hills Have Eyes, the 2006. But otherwise, his...
Oh, the remake.
Yeah, the remake that of that. But otherwise, he's in a bunch of like... He was in like Tremors 4. He's in a bunch of like direct-to-video sequels for all sorts of stuff. And then like knockoffs of things.
Yeah. I love the part where he's so defeated by Soccer Dog escaping that he burns his Dog Catcher of the Year awards.
Yes! And they're just that was like the crappiest like school attendance certificates you've ever seen.
That's my favorite part, actually. Go back. That is my favorite part. Having a bonfire to burn the Dog Catcher.
And why was there a no hunting sign at the dog pack?
Dude, that's the first note. That's the first thing written on my note.
Were they hunting the dogs?
Pendleton Dog Pound. No hunting. Why? Who's hunting dogs?
Well, yeah, what was the precedent that they had to actually put up a sign saying no hunting? Somebody has been hunting these dogs.
Yeah, that guy's sick.
All right. Anything else about the dog catcher?
No. What about the postman who really hated dogs?
Oh, that guy. He's next level. He comes out of nowhere and finishes the movie.
Very weird, very like closet racist vibes from that guy. Like they're upsetting the 50s-ish neighborhood. Really weird vibes from that guy.
And he comes out of nowhere. He comes out like sexy man. Like, you know, like that first scene that he's in, he's like a predator.
See, he would have been a great character in like a Broken Lizard type movie.
Yeah.
Where he's just like really obscene and this guy comes out, he's really pervy. And you kind of
laugh
about it. And
because it's a kid movie, it's like cringy. But if it had been a comedy,
Yeah. They're not allowed to cross that threshold that like makes it funny.
Exactly.
One of my favorite characters in this movie was the shoe salesman who's like really aggressively talking to him. Right.
Yo, I know vulgarity is not good, but Soprano, he's pussy.
Is he?
Yeah.
No, he's not the character, but like that's the character.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Yeah. Not the actor, but like that's the character he plays. Like that's in my head. I imagine that pussy went to go be a shoe salesman and whatever.
Talks about casseroles. Do you know who this guy is? Like the actor?
I have no idea.
Do you know who Greg Grunberg is?
Yeah.
This is his brother.
No way.
No.
I swear to God. So like either this guy's not in on like the J.J. Abrams friendship that keeps Greg Grunberg's career moving.
No way.
But yeah, this is Greg Grunberg. I can't even say the guy's name. Greg Grunberg.
Yo, how did they get these people? Yo, Sam McMurray and brother? Like what's going on?
He's like, he gets sweaty trying to explain the casserole to the kids. And then right before this, there's the kid.
And he bullied the kid too.
He what?
Yeah. Oh, he bullied the kid. Everyone bullied that kid to like play soccer.
Right, but okay, even before this, so in the shoe sale or the sports store, the dickhead with like the home improvement haircut goes up to the other kid and he's like,
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Yeah, he's like, is that the last predator? And the kid's like, I don't know, I guess it could. And then he nabs it from the kid, but he doesn't even check the shoe size. So that kid is
he throws it down.
But the kid's 2 feet shorter than him. Obviously, they're not going to be the same size shoes. Maybe they will.
Good point.
Steals the shoe from him. Yeah, just to be a dick. Yeah.
I think Jonathan Taylor Thomas was doing a lot of cocaine at that time. And he just agreed to be in that movie.
Did he do any soccer movies? He must. I can picture one of him like sitting, doing like that weird
movie.
He was in
that really racist movie with Tim Allen, where he's like with the stepchild.
Out of Africa. No, not out of Africa. You know what I'm talking about. Like the covers, Tim Allen in like an African mask or something. Yeah, what was that called?
No idea.
Yeah, I watched it when Disney Plus first came out. My daughter and I rewatched like all the old 90s stuff. There's one movie called Heavyweights where it's just 90 minutes of fat shaming.
That movie was gnarly.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff on Disney Plus that like doesn't.
It's my favorite streaming service. The only one I subscribe to besides One Soccer.
And now with Stars, like there's tons of great stuff.
It's so good. This movie's supposed to be on Stars. FYI, to American viewers, Stars has this movie on it, apparently.
Really?
Oh.
Apparently.
Okay.
VPN for the Canadians.
Okay. I feel like there's one subset of characters we have not properly touched on, and that's the Italians.
So good.
They're just like so cliched, and I'm sure Italian friends that we have would not appreciate the stereotyping. If it's not the mafia connotations, it's the greasy hair, like just one thing after another. Yeah, like even the little kid is
the little kid, the grease.
Lick back
the little kid when he loses his shit and he takes off his shirt and he's got the white tank underneath.
Yes,
and he throws it on the floor. It's like that was one of the moments where I was like, I like this movie. I'm not gonna hide my shame. So good.
It's funny. It's funny.
Yeah.
Anything like, with malicious.
Yeah, I know the writer of this movie only has like the one credit to their name, but he fit in like every Italian stereotype, man. So good on him, man. He quit.
That's why I said it was like CSL. Like it feels like you're watching CSL. I don't know how many people go to CSL games, but
at least they're still around, right?
CSL, yeah. You know, I had a game like a week ago.
Okay, so CSL for anybody who's listening and doesn't know, if you've heard of the Canadian Premier League. Before that, there was the Canadian Soccer League, which has been around since, like, I want to say 2000s-ish?
Well, in the incarnation now, yeah. It used to be CPSL, but, like, it's not really. Right. I don't know.
It was Canada's National League to the point where, like, they actually had a listing on FIFA's website.
Yes.
But really, all of their teams were in Southern Ontario. And then around, I think, was it, like, 2012?
That the match fixing?
The match fixing. I think like 2012 was unveiled that like the entire league was just being fixed by, I want to say like Eastern European match fixers or something.
You could say that, yeah.
Yeah. So then that blew up. Eventually League One Ontario started as our third division and then took off from there. Yeah.
But so CSL throws down with like OSL teams. I don't know.
CSL's good, man. CSL has guys that are like 30-ish and like they're working as carpenters and stuff like that. A lot of CPL players. But at the same time, they're crushing it.
A lot of CPL players were in CSL. Like Emilio Estevez, yeah, he was in CSL.
Yeah, CSL's really good, man.
Metro Star Mo was in CSL before he got, because of his visa issue. CSL is like a containment for Canadians who get into immigration problems.
Yeah.
So you have a really good basis for football.
And with League One, too, I think there's an age limit of like two guys over 24 or 23 or something like that. So then, yeah, exactly. A lot of people who can't make it in soccer but still want to play competitively go to CSL. And yeah, man, like aside from the match fixing, it was really entertaining.
And it's still entertaining. I recommend everyone check out Centennial Stadium.
There's just too much legitimate soccer now to still follow CSL.
It's legit now. Like the people who are doing that are out, man.
Oh, really?
Oh, 100%. It's like legit. They just had a documentary on BeIN Sports for Barracuda. They're trying to get their image back.
I don't know. They'll never be sanctioned by
any of the
governing bodies.
So they'll never be sanctioned, but it kind of makes it more fun.
And it's crazy that they still have like the Metros Croatia in it. I guess it's just called Toronto Croatia now, which is like Canada's got to be Canada's oldest club.
No, it's not. They're the Newfoundland club. I can't remember the name. It's FAA Fieldins 18 something.
Yeah, but they're amateurs, though, right?
They're amateurs, but they were pro. Like it's that fine line between like when pro leagues, when like it's essentially like saying like I don't know, Metro Croatia being one of the oldest clubs. Yeah,
it'd be cool to get Toronto Croatia back in like League One or something. Like there's so much pedigree there and history.
Yes, yes.
Okay. But that's that's
another story.
Digress for a bit, yeah. Adam, get us back on track.
Hey, any more highlights? I still don't have any highlights. Still racking my brain, so you tell me some more.
I've got a few notes here.
Me too.
The coach, the soccer coach, the Crocker-obsessed soccer coach had so many good lines.
Coach Shaw.
When he's getting the kids like revved up in their first match, out of nowhere, he just drops a, boys, I think I met my future ex-wife last night. And then he goes off and talks about like meeting a woman and taking her home.
What a line. That line is legendary.
Actually, another line, one of his, before I forget it, because there's a few highlights, is when they do the press conference for Lincoln and said that we've got this ransom money. You won't get a penny of it. And then someone's like, is that just monopoly money? And he's like, no.
Okay, he says, I think I met my future ex-wife last night and I'm going to be on her like a bum on a bologna sandwich.
Oh my God.
And then he goes on about soccer and he's really trying to get these kids excited about a future in soccer. And he says, if you're good, you can make a lot of money, just not in this country.
Yes. Okay.
That's the state of American soccer in 1999. Like, I think MLS was contracting at that point. And
yeah.
like very on the nose. Yeah,
USL Toronto Lynx was that era.
That was.
There's a part where the dad tries to get him excited about soccer, and he says, "I thought we could watch some highlights of last year's World Cup."
Oh yeah,
and that movie starring Michael Caine and Sylvester Stallone with Pele. How would this kid even know who Michael Caine was? Why would he get excited about that? Yeah. Or reruns of last year's World Cup?
Or even Pele, really. A kid that's not interested in football is going to be like, who?
Yeah, I guess, right? Because he was already done at that point.
Yeah.
Like, he was funny on The Simpsons and, like, there, a cameo appearance, but that was
he
it.
He was gone for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Like, Cosmos was, like, late 70s at that point.
That dad is, like, cheesy. That dad's got someone. He's got a plan. He's trying to get the doping kids to sell them as players.
He's trying to
he wants to bulk out a team and then sell them off. Yeah.
Well, he's trying to live out his childhood through the kid.
Totally. But like, it's easier than that. Like, you don't adopt a kid to relieve your trouble.
Yeah. There was a part when the dog first gets dog napped and gets put in the pound, and then the two dogs are staring at each other for like 10 seconds. I'm like, oh shit, they're going to start talking to each other. It's going to be like a look who's talking situation. It never happens.
But it's expectable. That's the best part about this movie. I was like,
this movie's taking a turn, and then it just never happens. They cut to another scene.
That dog tackle is the best tackle I ever thought of football. Just saying.
Tebow, he just crashes
in. Right.
What else do I have in my notes?
And there was no red card.
No, like, we didn't even talk about the ref. Like, the ref the entire time giving, like, football signals. Every time they scored a goal, he would do, like, the, I don't even know what this is called.
Yeah,
like, field goal, right?
Yeah, field goal. That guy was, the scene where he has his, like, wife dishing out the itemized list.
Yeah, he's like, yellow card, red card. Watch. And he's, like, wearing it.
No, he says timer. He says timer, and he goes, trick question. It's a watch.
That
my
wife
wrist.
Looked like she was a kidnapped victim.
Okay, so I think you mentioned this about the kid they keep calling Nancy. I don't know if that's his name, but they use the same joke in like almost every scene. Like, they call somebody the wrong name.
Yeah.
It's a recurring joke.
And we also didn't talk about there's the old people that come to the driving school that are trying to pass their DMV. Test, because they also keep calling Clay the wrong name. Like, they call Clay they're the ones that say, "How's Manny?" And so it's just like, I don't know why they thought this reoccurring joke of calling kids the wrong name.
It happens the entire movie, but it's never funny.
No.
Yeah.
And that DMV thing is also sort of like a short film within the film, because you watch him escalate. Like, he's like signing paper, like, I'm losing it. you're watching a man go.
When they first, it turns into like, was it Michael Douglas like falling down at that point?
Yeah.
Comes out with the shotgun. But at the beginning of the movie, they show him like this really nice house. And I'm like, oh, this guy became like an exec or something. But then he's just like a desk jockey at the DMV.
And it's slowly becoming unhinged throughout the movie.
I love this movie.
But only at the DMV.
And then there's like, I'm not sure what David Hasselhoff did to like offend anybody in this movie.
Oh,
I forgot.
Oh, yeah.
He chose violence against that man. Yeah. I don't know. They're like, what's the halftime entertainment? David Hasselhoff? The guy's like,
oh,
why? What did David Hasselhoff do in 1999 that was so terrible?
I don't know. Was Baywatch still around then?
I think so.
Remember that like one period where he was eating a hamburger off the floor? That wasn't around now. No, like the internet was.
That was earlier.
Yeah.
I don't know what he did, man, but like there is a slight against Hasselhoff in this movie.
Yeah, man. Like, this violence against that man. I got okay. So this dog. So here's the problem. Every time
Lincoln, you did name Lincoln.
the person's name or thing's name that they never get wrong, or they never try to call anything else. Okay, so here's my problem. Every time you guys pick an obscure movie, finding thumbnails and a poster to use for like the YouTube thumbnails or like the YouTube promotion, it's a struggle. It's every single time. So I started Googling, like I started trying to figure out what type of dog breed this is, because I'm already picturing it. I'm going to have to make my own soccer dog posters, which I had to do for my summer with Des. So it turns out this dog is a Portuguese Podango.
Okay.
And I was like, boom. So that's why it's naturally competitive at football. And also why the sequel, he competes in the European competition instead of a CONCACAF one.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
Right? because this movie takes place in the U.S. So I'm thinking, why is the Soccer Dog sequel called the European Cup?
I had no idea.
Some attention to detail. Portuguese
dog, right? Yes.
He's a Portuguese national.
He also sucked at football. I've never seen a dog suck so bad at football. Air Bud would kill him.
But there's a part where they put him on the field and then they're like, we just need a body on the field. And then the ball rolls up to the dog and the dog does nothing.
Yeah.
And then they're disappointed. They're like, ah, oh, this dog didn't do a trick.
How about like, the CGI in the movie? How was the CGI?
Was there CGI? There's no way to tell. The quality was so bad.
No, there was CGI. When the dog put the ball, he nutmegged the guy. That is 100% CGI.
Yeah. Portuguese dog, you never know. There was a part at the end of the movie, at the climax of the movie, where like the guy crosses it from across the pitch and then the dog heads it in, and that's like the winning ball. There's no way that dog doesn't have a concussion. Like, the dog's head is this small. It's like half the size of the ball.
Every shot the dog takes in the net with the little Italian goalie, like, it's fixed. It's all fixed. The whole movie's fixed, whether or not. I know, but even the ending's fixed. I'm convinced. Soccer Dog, fixed movie.
Yeah, he was meant to win.
He was meant to win.
Okay, any other highlights you guys really want to discuss before we move on?
No, I'm good, man. I mean, I think everyone in the movie listens to Sublime. I'll say that.
Okay, we will move on to number ones at the time. So, number one, the UK number one song of this movie's release was Living La Vida Loca by Ricky Martin. A classic. Number one at the box office was The Haunting, starring Liam Neeson and Catherine Zeta-Jones. And the best-selling video game at the time involved a different kind of animal altogether. It was Donkey Kong 64 was the best-selling video game of 1999.
Even, like, against PlayStation games?
Yeah, I was surprised.
I think Dreamcast was out then, too. That's surprising.
$9.99.
Oh, yeah. Didn't sell any. I bet Donkey Kong sold more copies than they sold Dreamcast consoles.
Donkey Kong had that cool yellow cartridge, but the game itself was ass. Like,
I had Donkey Kong Edition N64 where the controller looked like bananas.
Oh, yeah. They had, like, the brown tips, too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, that was the height of, like, 90s 3D platformers becoming too much. It was, like, collect, like, 50 coins to do this, to get a banana, trade these tokens in for this. This man needs feeding these things. I never finished that game back in the day.
Rare games at that time. Yeah. I think that was their last big one before GameCube, and then
eventually
they just went off to Microsoft.
Yeah. Okay, and football at the time. This movie was released just a few short weeks after Manchester United won an historic treble, winning the Premier League, FA Cup, and famously coming back from 1-0 down in injury time to beat Bayern Munich 2-1. MLS's fourth season was underway, and this was famous for being the last season which used the 35-yard line shoot-up rule to resolve tied games. And also, they lost the countdown timer, with the MLS Cup adopting the International Football Association Board standard running clock afterwards. DC United beat LA Galaxy 2-0 that season to lift their... Sorry?
Dynasty back then.
Dynasty, yeah, they were the team. So they lifted their third MLS Cup in 4 years. And finally, in transfer news, Christian Vieri broke the world transfer record, smashing the previous record by 10 million for a move for 32.5 million from Lazio to Inter Milan. I want to talk about that 35-yard line shootout rule. There are people in England that still think that happens in MLS. Like, they've never got past that. They saw that and were like, right, that's it. They've wrecked the game. I don't get it. They'll have seen, like, the only part of USA 94 they saw was Diana Ross missing a penalty, and then they know that this happens in MLS.
It's Do you even CONCACAF, man?
It was exciting, though. Like, I remember the penalties at MetroStars games were run-up penalties.
Oh, yeah, they were.
I'm holding up a blue card for those who can't see from Massel. Autographed ref blue card from Massel.
Is that CONCACAF in the box?
No, it's 2-5. You have the variant. Come on. Don't you know your Massel?
It was exciting. I'm not like, I don't want to go on a whole digression about indoor soccer again.
Football, yeah.
But yeah, we had some good times watching indoor soccer. Arena soccer, actually. It's not indoor soccer because indoor would use futsal rules, right? Massel?
Correct.
That's true. But yeah, so did you guys was it a sad day in MLS, do you think, when the 35-yard shootout rule was abandoned and American sports fans had to get used to a game being a tie?
It was that. It was that. I think that North American football is the best football. And we lost our culture. That was the day. Have you seen Goalie Wars? Come on, you've seen Goalie Wars.
No.
The run-up PKs, like a shootout in hockey, that was MLS like standard.
Yeah, well, that's what it was in arena soccer. Are,
yeah, exactly.
You could like dribble around the camera and stuff.
You got to watch Soccer Slam, which was wrestling. Soccer Slam,
yeah.
I think I'm picturing the game. There was a game called Soccer Slam, right? Like a Capcom game?
Soccer Slam was wrestling football. It was all fixed narrative. We've watched
this,
Mark.
We talked about this before, and there was a story and the brown cards and stuff. And
yeah, we wanted to review that.
Toronto Loons. Yes. You don't know how much money I spent to get a Toronto Loons kit, an original. I spent more money than I'll ever admit to.
Wait, that was Soccer Slam?
Soccer Slam.
And there's
or Soccer War. Soccer War. Toronto Loons, yeah. The wrestling one.
Yeah, there's like storylines and like heels.
Yeah. There's like 4 episodes of it up on like Vimeo or something.
We should watch that, eh? Everyone's talking about Ted Lasso right now. We should like do a swerve and review Soccer Wars / Slam.
You have no idea, man. I contacted the coach and then he gave me a player who probably still had one who like highballed me and I had to give it to him because where else are you going to get one of those kits?
How much did you pay for it?
More than I'll ever admit.
I'm picturing like 3 digits for that.
4.
No.
Canadian football, man. You got to get it.
There's a limit to some stuff. okay.
You need it.
We will move on. I did not make a game today because I'll be damned if I can think of a way to rank sports playing animals. So we will move on to Footy Flicks. So this is the bit of the show where we talk about our favorite football scenes. I'll start off and actually say the beginning of this where before Lincoln starts playing, there's actually some kind of okay football on show. Like they don't resort to the trick that they usually do of only showing players' feet. You see quite a few like long range passes. Perhaps there's a bit of ball on a string or CG in action here, but because of the low picture quality, you kind of can't tell. It's kind of okay. There's not a great amount of skill on show, but it's kids playing, so what do you expect? Are there any particular highlights you guys have in terms of footy flicks?
I thought the same thing like you were saying. Like it was actually pretty good. Sorry, it was pretty entertaining when it started. Like there was that mix of like the 90s hip hop that we were talking about, like the ska music. It's not the worst soccer we've seen on Match Day Matinee. No. But then as soon as the dog comes in, it all goes downhill. And there was like one scene where like dog was dribbling and then I guess he could only get like 2 seconds of the dog doing that and it just kept on flashing the screen white. And like I'm 100% sure if you have epilepsy, like you're writhing on the floor after watching that scene.
Yes,
like
it's, I might induce. Yeah,
also the fight scene with the like stepdad and the fighting D master, like that fight scene in the place. It just choppy.
We missed an entire scene where like the dog almost gets run over by D master in the car. D master's chasing him down and then the dog does like a Miami Vice slide across a white car.
He slides. He actually slides in the film.
Must have taken the dog and just thrown it across the hood. It's pretty good.
Any other football scenes that spring to mind that were good?
The one like dickhead kid, the Jonathan Taylor Thomas one, like he does like 4 fouls in a row. Like he never gets called on them.
Yeah.
Like,
progressively getting worse.
Yeah. Dick.
He does like a 2-footed tackle. The ref, I think he blows a whistle at that point. But then in the next play, he like hip checks a kid, doesn't get called. And then that one kid at the end, he's doing a breakaway and like all of the Stampeders are coming at him, but not really at him. They're like finding a way to get behind him and then just jumping at nothing.
Yeah.
The orphan kid is also a good keeper. That orphan kid, when he figured out he's a keeper, those themes, he's got game.
And ironically, the coach at the beginning of the game says using your feet's overrated. Like, it's got no place in the game. It's all about hand-eye coordination. And it turns out,
He was right all along.
Watching, like, watching 7-year-old soccer with my daughter, there's so many times when, like, the kids will have, like, a momentary lapse and they'll just start using their hands. It's never not funny. Like, the ball's coming towards the kid and she'll have like the clearest break, and out of nowhere, right before the ball comes to her, she'll just grab it and put it on the floor. The ref blows the play down and we're just like, man. Did he do that? It's going to be our first win this season, but I guess not.
Okay, so that's it for footy flicks. We will move on to the ranking. Mark, do you have the rankings to hand?
I can pull them up. Give me one second.
I don't remember where they are. I tried looking in the drive whilst we were talking, ranking and I couldn't find them.
Spoon, have you seen every movie that we've watched?
Every single one except one German one you guys watched. Somewhat recently.
German.
I can pull it up.
We did My Summer with Dennis. Last season.
It was last season.
Oh, the keeper.
Oh, okay. So we don't need to rank that in this.
It would have been the keeper.
You just need to help us rank it in this season.
Okay. I'm pulling it up right now.
I mean, I'm giving it number one already, so.
A fucking chance.
Here we go. So, in the first spot, we have Rudo Ikersi. In the second spot, Looking for Eric. In the third spot, Baggio, the Divine Ponytail. Hold on, I want to pause for 1 second. Did you guys see the picture of Roberto Baggio wearing a Forge hat?
Oh my God, yes!
My proudest moment of my like soccer design career, can I just say?
How did that happen?
Yeah, no one seems to know how it happened, did they? Like, there must be somebody who gave it to him in the world, and Canadian Soccer World's not too huge. Like, somebody needs to confess to it. Who did it?
Someone needs to confess.
Yeah, he was like, oh, cool hat, and you wore it. Yeah, man, amazing. I showed everybody I knew. Like Baggio wearing a hat with the logo I designed.
I haven't screenshotted, man.
Yeah. Okay, back to the table ranking. Sorry. First place, Rudo Ikersi. Second place, Looking for Eric. Third place, Baggio, Il Divine Cadino. And fourth place, My Summer with Dez.
It's third.
So you're putting it above Baggio?
Yeah.
Adam?
You know what? I don't like this film, but it is more fun than Baggio. That film was so just charismaless. At least his character in this film. Like, Dogcatcher alone is creepy and weird enough. Like, yeah, I think that might be fair. It can't go. There's no way it goes higher.
No, not a chance.
You guys like this film more than me. If third is the compromise, I'll take it.
Third?
Yeah, third. I don't think it's going to hang there for long. There's got to be better movies out there that we'll do this year. Third.
Does Soccer Dog have a better depiction of Italians than Baggio?
From a certain point of view, yes. How many vests are there in Baggio?
Does it have a more accurate depiction of Italians? I'm glad you guys went third, because you don't even need my vote to place it in third. Because I feel so dirty putting it above Baggio, but man, this movie's entertaining.
Very entertaining.
Thank you, Soccer Dog.
Thank you, Soccer Dog.
Thank you, Soccer Dog, for the memories. It does bring people together. So CPL Wooden Spoon, thank you very much for joining us. It has been a journey for sure. And for listeners, viewers, this is not the last time we will be looking at terrible movies. Our intention going forward is to cover more terrible movies so we can give out a Matchday Matinee Wooden Spoon Award at the end of every season. So you will be joining us along for that ride. If people want to find you on like social media and stuff, where can they find you?
There's Instagram and Twitter, both at CPL Wooden Spoon.
Brilliant. And Mark, where can people find you?
On Twitter at Mark83, on Instagram at A3Football, and I believe that's it. Give Spoon a follow. He started out as like an account to hand out a wooden spoon to CPL, and suddenly he's turned into this guy who like breaks Canadian news stories and just awesome. He's like really big in the game of soccer in Ontario. I love it. So
appreciate it, man.
Great job, man.
Thank you, man.
And if you want to follow me, it's Joypad Goalpost on social media. And also, don't forget to give our social media accounts follow Matchday Matinee on Twitter. And Mark has been doing a bunch of graphic work on our Instagram as well. I'm putting it up on there. So Matchday Matinee on there too. Mark's put his hand up. He's got something else to say.
Our Football Friends film pick.
Yes. Don't forget to check out that video. We had a very special guest covering our football friends pick, and we're going to try and get some more as we go along from other famous friends of the show. So yeah, check that out. It's not just about us ranking films, about finding out other people's favorite films. So let us know your favorite picks and go and check out that little short video. And that is going to do it for today. So from the terrace to the theater of dreams, we are Match Day Matinee. Thank you very much for watching. See ya.